Dusty Springfield and Stay A While. That goes back to the year 1964. Can you believe it, all those years ago? You're listening to East Point Radio, where the time is fast approaching 10:45. And at this time on a Monday, it's very often my pleasure to welcome to the programme all sorts of folks to talk about things that's happening across the East Anglian region and everything that's relevant to East Anglia. And I'm hoping now, as part of our series
Anglia
in Focus,
that John West, who's a Suffolk author of Britain's Haunted Land, is joining us on the phone. Good morning to you, John.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, and your good self?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Now, I must admit that you sent me a copy of the Britain's Haunted Land, and it's an absolutely excellent book, I must say, and I've read it cover to cover, believe it or not.
Oh, thank you.
So, really enjoyed it. Now, I know in particular that there are two chapters on East Anglian hauntings. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yes, well, there's one on the Brown Lady of Raynham Hall in Norfolk, and she is supposed to be the ghost of Dorothy Walpole, the sister of the Prime Minister, the first Prime Minister we ever had, and she died of smallpox. She was in a very bad marriage in the 18th century, and after her death, people claim to have seen her ghost. She was seen wandering the corridors looking very unhappy. And the Prince Regent apparently stayed there, and he saw her, and he was so scared that he said he'd never go back to the hall. And in the mid-19th century, this chap decided to wait for the ghost one night, and he armed himself with a gun, and he was hiding round the corner, and he saw this figure walking along the corridor, and she was all dressed in brown, and she had sort of luminous-looking eyes, and he jumped out and fired the gun at her. And fortunately, it wasn't someone playing a prank, otherwise he would have killed her. The bullet went right through and she vanished, and he was basically pretty shocked by that, as you can imagine.
I'm not surprised.
yeah. But the most famous thing about this ghost, it was actually a photograph was taken of it, and if your listeners Google the Brown Lady of Raynham Hall, they'll find it. What it was in the 1930s, Country Life were doing a series on stately homes, and two of their photographers went to the hall to basically just take a few pictures for the feature, and they were setting up the camera on the main staircase, and one of them said, "My God, there's a ghost coming down the stairs, take a picture." And it was the old style camera on a tripod and everything, so the other chap couldn't see it, but he just took the guy's word for it, took the picture. And when it was developed, there is actually this figure gliding down the stairs. Now, some people claimed it was faked and they made it up, or it was a double exposure or a smudge on the glass plate. But it looks, for me, and sort of a lot of people in the world, like a ghost, although people have claimed it looks more like a statue of the Virgin Mary. So I don't know, people have to make their own decision about that. But it was examined by experts, the plate. They said it hadn't been tampered with. And Harry Price, he was a very famous ghost hunter in the 1930s and 40s, and we investigated Borley Rectory and places like that. He was convinced that they were genuine people. He'd interviewed them, and he didn't feel they were lying. So that photograph is available for all the world to see. So is it genuine? Is it fake? I'm inclined to believe it's genuine, but obviously if people think, oh, it's a load of rubbish, I'm happy for them to think that. So that's a pretty fascinating case. Dunwich is a place on the east coast of England in Suffolk, and that is very haunted. I actually did a film there with the director Jason Figgis called The Ghost of Winifred Meeks, because I do acting as well, and we were filming in and around the area, and we stayed in a Victorian house, and we actually had some ghostly experiences. Laura Belmont, the actress, the lead actress, found a handprint of a child on the outside of a bedroom window, and this was one story up. And the thing was, you might say, well, what's so special about that? Well, one, how could the child get up there? And two, that night I'd heard a child crying in the house, and I couldn't find obviously where it was coming from, and I assumed it must be outside. And Jason Figgis heard a woman shouting as well downstairs, and there was no one there. But Dunwich was originally a medieval town, one of the biggest and richest in medieval England, and most of it fell into the sea, as some of your listeners may know. But it's a very haunted place. People have claimed to hear the bells ringing out at sea because all the churches fell into the sea. People have claimed to have seen a figure in Tudor costume getting into a boat on the seashore and then disappearing. There's weirdly disembodied legs are supposed to haunt the coastal path. A couple saw these legs. No other part of the person. wearing sort of boots. There is a theory that some ghosts are recordings, and so is this a recording of someone, and it's winding down and deteriorating, and all that's left of him now are his legs. There's the Greyfriars Priory, which is haunted by the obligatory phantom monks who have been heard chanting. Black Shuck, the legendary demon hound of East Anglia, has been seen running through the grounds and supposed to have blazing red eyes. The only pub in Dunwich is supposed to be haunted by this figure that stands at the bottom of the bed and then walks through a wall. A landlord saw this, and interestingly enough, when he examined the wall, it turned out it was a blocked-up doorway where this figure had gone through. Mm. So Dunwich is full and full of ghosts. Very interesting place. There's a little museum there, which apparently is not haunted, but it's well worth a visit. And also will-o'-the-wisp lights are seen along the coastal paths as well, particularly around Christmas time. And these are supposed to be sort of spirit lights, the ghosts of people who've obviously passed on. And also there's a phantom Victorian on a horse who's been seen riding across the fields as well, one of the former landowners. So there's quite a few ghosts there. So hopefully if any of you listeners go to Dunwich, they might bump into one or two of them.
Well, I've been to Dunwich on quite a few occasions, and I have actually heard the pealing of the bell.
And, really?
Oh, yes. And I've heard that more than once, I can say. And, you know, two totally different occasions with, can I say, the weather conditions were very different on both occasions. So you can't tie it down to anything to do with the weather or anything like that. But I have definitely heard the bell tolling at Dunwich.
That's pretty amazing, and a bit of synchronicity, because as you were saying, that the bell over the road in the church was chiming the quarter hour, as you were saying. They probably didn't hear that, but yes, it's very interesting. I've spoken to people who swear blind that they've seen, heard the bells, but they're supposed to be heard before a storm. I don't know how true that is. I mean, I don't know whether a storm sort of, you know, was whipped up after you heard them.
But I think it was, actually. I think that was actually just about to happen. It was a very stormy occasion, I can remember, the first time. And ironically, the second time I heard the bell, it was relatively calm. So it was very strange.
Right.
Very strange.
This was definitely coming from out to sea.
Oh, yes.
All right. Because there is one church still standing in Dunwich, but that's obviously quite away from the coast. So it obviously wasn't that. Interestingly enough, I spoke to, because people go diving there and sort of look at the ruins, although the visibility is very poor. And obviously, there's not much left of the ruins. People assume that if you go under the sea, it's going to be complete buildings, which obviously it isn't. But one diver I spoke to said that he had to come up because he just got this really weird feeling on the seabed as if he was being watched, and he fell. He didn't see anything, but he had this impression that there was literally someone standing on the seabed staring at him, and it so spooked him, excuse the pun, that he just had to come up. And other people have gone down and just felt presences, shall we say. I know people are obviously aware that it's supposed to be haunted and that could play on their minds, but one or two of these people had never heard of any ghost stories connected with Dunwich, and yet they still felt that there was something on that seabed with them. And you know, so it's very interesting. It's a fascinating place, Dunwich, and of course if you walk along the cliffs sometimes after a storm, you can find bits of medieval pottery and even bones, human bones sometimes. I can remember going there years ago and I saw a skull sticking out of the sand, you know, right up on the cliff. You know, so obviously that's long gone now. But yes, it's you know, it's not surprising there's a few ghosts around, especially if the bones are falling out onto the beach.
Well, it's strange that you say that, because some years ago now, I must admit that I went there and there was the remnants of what obviously was a coffin sticking out of the sand itself. And I can remember seeing that and thinking, you know, that was very strange. Obviously, it was just how things had just got eroded, and what was remaining was, and I'm sure it was the remains, you know, of a coffin literally sticking out of the sand as such.
I can well imagine that would have been the case, because the churchyard is still up there and there's one gravestone left right on the edge, which is going to fall eventually. So I assume that perhaps a museum will remove it before it does. But yeah, you often find bits of bone and that on the beach, especially, as I said, after a storm, because it's very sandy, that cliff anyway. And once, I wasn't there at the time, but a chap found almost a complete medieval pot sticking out the sand. So he was naturally very pleased to get that and keep it as a souvenir. And I remember a few years ago, there was a chap in Lowestoft had in a display case a skull of a medieval woman from Dunwich that had fallen out. And I did ask him if the skull was haunted, and he said, well, nothing's happened, but he was trying to sell it for £500. But I thought it was a bit too expensive, and I thought, no, I don't really want that in my house. It's a bit too grisly as a souvenir. And you never know, the ghost might have appeared. I don't want that.
No, I know what you mean. Now, also, Haysborough. That's another area which has very curious tales as well, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, the phantom smuggler.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a well there, and what it was, there was these two people were walking along, and they saw this ghostly figure, but his head was hanging off. It was hanging down to the front, weirdly, and he was carrying some sort of bundle. And naturally, they were quite scared, but he disappeared in the vicinity of this well. And the well was examined, and they found a body down there. And this man had been clearly murdered. He was a smuggler, because they found, I think, one of the pistols there, and there was traces of blood. And they actually searched the area, and they found more traces of blood, and some coins and some discarded bottles. So presumably the smugglers had had an argument, and one of them had been murdered, and they'd basically tipped him down the well. It was actually found in a place called Cart Gap, and as I said, that the well's long since gone. But even to this day, people claim to have seen this figure gliding towards where the well used to be. So yeah, so he still apparently haunts the area. The ideal time to see him apparently is on moonlit nights. So if you've got any ghost hunters out there, you know, go when the moon's out, and you might see him sort of gliding along. And this was originally seen in 1765, by the way, the ghost, and he supposedly still haunts the area.
Very interesting. Now, John, where can people get copies of your book? Is there any particular bookshops that you'd like to mention, or are they available, you know, from, can I say, some of the well-known outlets, put it that way?
Yeah. Well, it's a very well-known internet outlet. The name begins with A. If I'm not allowed to say the full name, you can get it from there, Britain's Haunted Land.
Yeah, it's connected with a river, isn't it?
That's it, in South America. That's a big clue. Yeah. It's also available direct from the publisher, JMD Media. You can order it from them. Howarsworth Bookshop, if any listeners are in Howarsworth, it's available in there. And I live in Framlingham, and it's also in the bookshop, second-hand bookshop in Framlingham as well. And you can get it from a well-known leading bookseller chain, shall we say. It begins with W, if I'm not allowed to say the full name. I think let's just say the first part of it's Water, so you can get it from there as well. It's in places like Lowestoft, Norwich, places like that, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Now, it's such an interesting book, John. As I say, I have literally read it from cover to cover after you sent it across to me. And it is so, can I say, it makes you want to read the next chapter, the next chapter, the next chapter. I couldn't put it down, to be honest.
Oh, I'm really pleased about that. Well, that's my third ghost book, actually. I've got two others which are still in print. Britain's Haunted Heritage and Britain's Ghostly Heritage. And Jason Figures did the cover for for all my books as well. I'm particularly proud of the cover he did for the last one with the Green Man. And he did the introduction and also contributed a chapter. But yeah, people, you know, give very positive feedback on the books, which is great. I also write for Psychic News magazine every month as well, Ghost Stories, if people want to check that out. But I have got a fourth ghost book due out called Haunting Tales. I don't know if it'll be this year or next year, but I'm going to carry on doing as many ghost books as I can until I run out of stories, which will probably never happen, or I get fed up with it.
do you have a website or anything like that?
I do. It's johnwestmedia.com. All my information's on there. As I said, I'm also a filmmaker stroke actor, and any projects that are coming up are on there. I'm currently sort of fundraising on Indiegogo for a documentary about Bram Stoker, which I wrote, and we're working on a documentary on Poltergeist with Jason Figgis. And potentially some more acting roles are coming up. But anyway, people can check out my what I'm up to on my website. So it's johnwestmedia.com, as I said.
Absolutely brilliant, John. And I thank you for talking to us live here on East Point Radio this morning about Britain's haunted land. And you're the Suffolk author, John West, of that said book. And I can certainly recommend it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, John, for joining us, as I say, here on the radio this Monday morning. You're listening to East Point Radio. We'll have another song, and then it's going to be our 11ters, so you could be able to chill out and enjoy a well-earned tea, coffee, or something slightly stronger.